Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's book, Angels. But first, here's his message, Angels in the Universe.
Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, the first chapter. Today, I want to ask the question, what about angels? Do you believe in angels? I don't believe in angels because I've ever seen an angel. I haven't seen an angel. The Bible teaches us that in the book of Ephesians that angels want to come and observe our worship. That angels, according to 1 Peter, desire to look into our salvation, to see it more clearly, because there is an invisible world that we cannot see with human eyes, with physical eyes. We can only know it by faith. And God has given us that sense of His presence and the presence of that which is holy and powerful around us when we worship Him. There was an occasion in the Old Testament when Elisha the prophet was asleep, and while he was asleep, Syrian soldiers came upon them, and Elisha's servant was in a panic-stricken mode. And he awakened the prophet and said, "Sir, wake up. Look at these Syrian soldiers who are surrounding us." He was terrified. And Elisha used that moment to teach his servant a marvelous lesson. For Elisha prayed, "God, show your servant that they which are with us are greater, are more than those which are against us." And the scripture tells us that the eyes, the spiritual eyes of this servant were opened, and he saw row after row of the majestic angelic host there defending them and protecting them. Indeed, angels exist. We can only imagine how many times we ourselves have been protected by angels or energized by the ministry of angels around us. Indeed, angels exist. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" The Word of God is talking about you, believer. You have inherited salvation in Jesus Christ. You belong to Him, and therefore, angels are there to serve and to minister to you. And I again say, I don't believe in angels because I've ever seen one, though I have sensed an angel's presence. I believe in angels because the Bible says angels exist and that angels are operating. Now, some would wonder, did angels cease to be active in the lives of believers when the Holy Spirit came? Because after all, we have the full-time presence of the Holy Spirit. Why would we need an angel to minister to us when we have the Holy Spirit comforting us, counseling us, guiding us, guarding us? Well, I think clarity is given to that issue when we simply look at Acts chapter 8, when Philip the preacher, Philip the deacon, was in Samaria in the middle of a citywide crusade revival, and God was blessing, and he was moved to go to the desert where God had an encounter there prepared for him with an Ethiopian eunuch. But it's interesting that an angel came to Philip, and the angel said to him, "I want you to go down this certain road and into the desert." So the angel guided him. The angel directed him, as the angels would also from time to time deal with the Apostle Paul when he was in prison, when he was on ship. And these were believers, of course. And so he was guided by an angel. And then when he got to the desert, then the scripture says, the Holy Spirit said, "Attach yourself to the chariot. Go to the chariot and stay there." And there, led by the Spirit of God, he was able to lead that Ethiopian eunuch to faith in Jesus Christ. But I point out that passage because here you see the Holy Spirit and the angel of the Lord working in tandem, working in cooperation. We certainly know that the Father, God the Father, can command angels. We know that God the Son can command angels. For even when Christ was dying on the cross, He could have cried out and those rows and rows and rows of angelic hosts could have delivered Him off the cross, but Jesus bled and died for you and me. He could have commanded those angels. And certainly if God the Father, God the Son could command angels, we would certainly believe that God the Holy Spirit could command angels, as in the case of Philip the deacon and the soul winner. The fact is, these angels operate at the Word of God and in the will of God undercover. And the fact that we have not seen an angel indicates that they're doing their job properly. They're doing it undercover, invisibly, the work of God. And yet we know from Scripture who these angels are. We know that angels have a special work and ministry in the life of the Christian. We've already read Hebrews 1:14. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him, and he delivers them." Angels are created by God. They are not born as human beings are born, and they existed before the creation of the earth. In Job chapter 38 and verse 7, we're told that the angels celebrated the creation of the earth and of mankind. And so we know that the angels existed before human beings. They are pre-existent to human life. Certainly, they were created by God. Now, angels are not self-existent. Only God is self-existent. God is the creator. These are created beings. Somewhere in eternity past, before the creation of the heavens and the earth, God created these powerful beings, the heavenly host called angels, and they are there primarily to worship and serve God. They are created in beauty and majesty and glory. Powerful beings. There are only three angels named in Scripture. Of the myriads and myriads of angels, there are only three that are named in Scripture. One is Lucifer, the son of the morning. And we read of him in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Lucifer, created by God to worship him. And in fact, there's indication in Scripture that he was the leader of the heavenly host in praise and worship unto God. It was Lucifer who rebelled against God. The son of the morning became the child of the night, the devil. And so we know Lucifer, but there are two other angels, holy angels, who maintain their holy estate. One is known as Michael, the archangel. Michael, the archangel, apparently is the leader of the angelic ranks. We're told in Scriptures of these heavenly powers and principalities that there are ranks of these angels. They're like soldiers, powerful warriors. And Michael is the archangel. Michael himself will appear when Christ comes, and with the trumpet sound, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Michael will blow his horn and Christ shall come. There's Michael, and then, of course, there's Gabriel. Now, sorry, ladies, and this isn't an anti-feminist statement, but in the Bible, these angels are primarily described not as beautiful blonde women, but powerful, majestic figures created by God, not neutered, effeminate males, but strong, powerful warriors and witnesses and worshipers of God. But some people have the idea that the angels are sort of like little fairies that just sort of twitter around. No. Angels are powerful. They're filled with personality. They are intelligence and possess an intelligence far superior to human intelligence. They are created for immortality. Though there was a time when they did not exist, there will never be a time that they will not exist, because these men, or these angels rather, are not born. They are created of God, and they were created for immortality. Only the devil and his angels will face eternal death and judgment and everlasting fire. Jesus said that these angels do not marry, and therefore the indication, of course, is that there's no reproduction between angels, but rather these angels are created for immortality, and therefore they never die. How many angels are there? Well, we're not for sure how many, but in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says a multitude of the heavenly host appeared to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. A multitude of the heavenly host. And in God's mathematics, when he adds it up, a heavenly host or a host is an innumerable company. In Revelation chapter 5, 11, John observes these angelic beings, the heavenly host, worshiping the Lamb of God. And when he saw them and sought to write down the number of them, He said they were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. And while that number would be in itself 100 million angels, most likely John was describing such an innumerable number, it would be like us saying there was a bazillion of them. Just millions and millions and myriads of these angels. And with one voice and one spirit and one soul worshiping the Lamb of God. You see, angels do not seek or desire our worship, that we would be obsessed with them. As a matter of fact, when John saw these angels and was carried about through heaven by an angelic tour host, he fell down on his knees to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing him these things. And the angel said, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you. Worship God. Worship Jesus Christ." And so we're not to be carried away in the worship or an obsession with angels. Our obsession is to be with Jesus Christ. Our obsession is always to be with Him. And angels desire us that we might look to Jesus Christ in faith.
You are listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Angels in the Universe. God sent His angels to care for His church, to protect you, encourage you, and inspire you to push back the enemy and boldly live out your faith. That's why Dr. Graham wants to send you his book, Angels, to show you you're not alone. Angels is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's word through PowerPoint's global outreach. So request your copy today when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Angels in the Universe.
Why would we study angels? Because we can learn something from the angels. And I mentioned two primary lessons that we learn from the angels. One is the lesson of worship. Angels were made to worship God, and so are we. While we are here, there, in the kingdom of heaven, these angels are right now worshiping and praising God. Jesus in Matthew 18 and verse 10 speaks of those angels who are in the face of God, in the very presence of God, the angels of His presence. Psalm 91 speaks of those of us who are to gather in the shadow of the Almighty. I can tell you that those angels right now, the angelic host, are in the very shadow, in the very face of the Almighty. Their worship is full. Their worship is free. Their worship is focused on the Lamb of God. They're saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God." They are living in His presence. And I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to being a part of that. But until that day, I want to learn how to worship God, to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, and to worship as the angels worship. Those disciples, when they were arrested for preaching the gospel, it was observed of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been in His presence. They had been up close and personal to him. And the way we get up close and personal to Jesus today is by prayer and worship through the Word of God in spirit and in truth. And people who have been with Jesus, they speak of him naturally and normally. It's not contrived or forced. We've met people like that, haven't we, who seem to have come from the presence of God, whose countenance is aglow with the life of God, whose experience with God is not so focused here, but is focused there. As Paul said, don't set your affections on things below, but set your affections on things above. So much of our worship is weak and emaciated. So many churches start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. We've lost the wonder of worship. And we can learn from these angels to perpetually praise him. In Psalm 89 and verse 7, it says, "In the council of the holy ones," the angels, "God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him." Can you imagine the angelic council, the council of the holy ones, as these angels gather together to confer together, to counsel together, and they conclude, "Our God is an awesome God. He is awe-inspiring. And there is reverence with a God like that and toward a God who is holy, holy, holy." And the angels fall down and worship him. And yet in the angels' worship, there is something missing. If you read 1 Peter chapter 1, it describes the great salvation that we have, the inheritance that we have in Christ. Indestructible, undefiled inheritance in Christ. Our hope that is solid and strong in Jesus, even through the testing times of life. And that powerful passage just enumerates the blessings of God in salvation. And then in verse 12 of that same 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Even the angels long to look into these things." They long to see it and experience it. The word "look" in the language of the New Testament, to look and see, means to bend over and to look and to see with intensity. Not a casual observance, but to look, to really see. It's the same word that was used when the disciples ran to the tomb and they bent down and they looked into the tomb to see that Christ was alive. He'd come forth from the tomb. Same word. The angels desire to look into these things. You see, angels have a head knowledge of salvation. They know all about it. They attended salvation story. But they have not personally experienced this wonderful, glorious salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And they long to see it, and they're amazed to understand it. They long to look at it. Why? Because you see, in their worship, they have never known the joy of being saved. Because they've never been lost and broken and ruined and emptied by sin. They've never known the joy of salvation, of being found, of being forgiven. The old gospel song put it well. Holy, holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make heaven's corridors ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, because angels have never known the joy that our salvation brings. How good is it to be forgiven? To be changed, to be cleansed, to be redeemed by Jesus Christ. And because of that, we join the angelic throng in worship to God. How wonderful. The Bible tells us there's rejoicing in the presence of God when one person comes to faith in Christ, when one sinner comes home. All of heaven explodes with glory to God because we worship the God of our salvation, the dear Lamb of God. I'll tell you something else these angels teach us. They teach us how to work for Him. They teach us how to serve God. As I quoted earlier, the angel in heaven told John, "I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus." Now these angels serve God day and night. They do His will in complete obedience. And like the angels, we need to learn to serve God like that. In total obedience and abandonment to Him. Having worshiped God, we move from the place of worship to work and to serve. These angels are seen throughout scriptures as birth attendants. They're seen as communicators. They're seen as preachers or messengers. They're seen as soldiers. They're seen as guardians. All in the service of God. They're servants of God. A servant, the word servant is the word which most describes what a believer in Jesus Christ is to be about. Servants. When the apostles, men like Peter and James and John and Paul, when the servants of God in the New Testament and in the Old Testament like Moses and Daniel and David, when they described themselves, they did not describe themselves with vaunted titles, but rather simply as servants of God. The higher you ascend in God's organization, the more you will serve Him. When you serve God, when you ascend in God's organization, you don't put your feet on your desk as some kind of spiritual executive, but rather you keep serving and serving again and again. Even the angels who are in the very presence of God, they have ascended to the heights. Even if you ascend to the status of an angel, you will still be serving God. That's why I don't believe there's any such thing as retirement in the work of Jesus Christ. You may give up your day job, but you keep serving Jesus Christ. We never quit. The angels teach us that. And oh, how we ought to obey, even as these holy angels, these ministering servants, are sent to serve. And so are we. And you know, when we get to heaven, it won't even stop there. Because we're told in the book of Revelation that there His servants serve Him day and night. Imagine that, serving the one you love more than life and eternity itself, serving Jesus Christ with complete freedom and strength and energy all the days of your life. And so we can learn from these angels, not by mere fascination or fadism, but through faith in Jesus Christ. We will never become angels, but until we get to heaven and in eternity, we can be like those angels who worship and serve God day and night, with the glorious exception that we have been saved forever by His grace and His power.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Angels in the Universe. The spiritual battle that's raging around us couldn't be more evident. And as a member of Christ's church, you have the support of His mighty angels to win the fight. In his book, Angels, Dr. Graham shows you how to tap into the support God has given you through His angels so you can stand strong and defeat the enemy in the fight for our culture. Angels is our thanks for your gift today, to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel and the hope it brings to more people around the world through PowerPoint. So call now to request your copy of Angels when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Now, that's a great question, Scott, and the answer is simple. We should learn about angels because we can learn from angels. In fact, there are two key lessons that angels can teach us. The first thing that angels can teach us is the lesson of worship. Angels were made to worship God, and of course, so are we. We are made to worship, and worship is made for us. Now, you and I can't possibly imagine the amazing worship that is taking place in the presence of God right now. It's being led by an angelic host, praising Him forever. And I'm really looking forward to experiencing the glorious heavenly worship and to experience the presence of God as we bow before Him and shout hallelujahs to Him. But for now, we must learn to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty and learn to worship as the angels do with every bit of our beings. Now, the other thing we need to learn from the angels is how to serve God. The scripture says that an angel in heaven told John, "I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers." The angels in heaven are serving God, performing His will day and night, and they do so in complete and total obedience. Just imagine what our service to God would be like if we served Him with such commitment, obedience, and abandonment. In the scripture, we see angels serving in all kinds of capacities, as birth attendants, communicators, and messengers, as soldiers, and as guardians. But regardless of what they're doing, they are the servants of God. And you know, every believer, you and me who are followers of Jesus, we are called to be His servants. This was modeled for us in the Scripture by the apostles in the New Testament, as well as Moses and Daniel and David and others in the Old Testament, each who called themselves the servants of God. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you also are to serve Him. And the more you love Him, the more you will desire to serve Him. And the more you serve Him, the more you will love Him all the more. Take a lesson from the angelic host today. Worship and serve God with your whole heart. This is your calling in Christ Jesus, in this life and for all eternity.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Angels, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. It's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. On the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can break free from addiction for good. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.